This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Mellanox Technologies, the leading supplier of end-to-end FDR 56 gigabits per second InfiniBand and 10 and 40 gigabit Ethernet interconnect solutions for HPC and cloud server and storage clustering. www.mellanox.com.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry, with Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Energy Department kickstarts exascale effort.
DOE presses fast forward for Intel, AMD, NVIDIA, and WAM Cloud.
Good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for July 13th, 2012, available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael.
Oh, we had some big news this week, middle of the summer, but yeah.
Sure did.
DOE is kicking off their exascale effort, and not a great deal of money, but a lot of companies that we like and have talked about a lot on this show.
Well, it might be a great deal of money to some of the people on the list and better than a sharp stick in the eye. We've been talking about the path to exascale for a while now, and DOE has announced some of these fast-forward awards for the development of particular technologies, and four of the companies in particular have gone public with their awards and initiatives.
Right. This week, these companies announced, or will soon announce, at least they're public now, that they've won these so-called fast-forward awards, and it's Intel, as we mentioned at the top of the show, Intel, AMD, NVIDIA, and WAM Cloud, along with some other people with WAM Cloud there. And it's on the order of close to $50 million for those companies. And there might be other companies involved that just haven't announced yet, but these are the ones that are public as of this Friday, and were announced in some fashion during the week. And we covered that in HPC Wire this week.
Right. And there are particular technology areas that they're each developing. Intel for processor and memory, AMD also for processor and memory, NVIDIA for processors, and WAM Cloud and its group for storage and I.O.
Right. In fact, that's the areas that this fast-forward contract actually is covering. It's processors, memory, and storage. These are basically some of the foundational technologies for exascale. This work does not cover the system level architecture or the system software stack or other things that, you know, we've talked about when we've discussed the DARPA UHPC work, which is winding down now. So these are specific R&D research contracts for those specific areas that they've started with.
Did you do the dollar amounts already?
No, I didn't. We should probably go through that real quick. I mean, Intel looks like it got the most money out of these four, although WAM Cloud did not specify its dollar amount for that contract. So Intel got $19 million for aggregate of the processor memory work. AMD got $12.6 million. NVIDIA got $12 million, and that's just for the processor work. So you add those up, and then WAM Cloud probably got somewhere between $10 and $20 million for its storage work. I think the top limit on these contracts was $20 million, so that sort of limited what the scope and amounts that could be done here. So let's go through sort of what the starting point is for these things, and a lot of it I think is sort of obvious to us. I mean, you know, we know sort of about what these companies are working on for their exascale work, except maybe for AMD, but Intel is going to be, you know, using the MIC architecture, the many core, what's now called Xeon Phi product line, and the MIC architecture as the starting point for its processor technology, and it's going to be concentrating on 3D memory as the memory technology. AMD is going to be actually using its APU, its accelerated processing unit, the CPU-GPU heterogeneous platform chip, as their starting point for their processors, and it's not quite clear what they're going to be doing with the memory technologies. NVIDIA is going to be using its Echelon work that it's actually started under the UHPC DARPA work as its sort of starting point for its processor research on this. And so that's none of these are a big surprise. I mean, they were all looking at these exascale technologies. I think even AMD, even if it hadn't come out and actually said that it's thinking of pushing the APUs into that level of server scale, it was making noises like it was eventually going to bring the APUs into the server arena, and it makes sense that it's going to eventually target the high end for that. So in a sense, that was sort of the bigger news there, that actually AMD is going to try and bring the APU technology into this sort of high-end HPC realm.
Yeah, it's interesting to me because, well, first of all, if we'd been listing out areas that we really needed to work on in order to achieve exascale, I might have put the processor technology down pretty low on the list, right? And these companies are all talking about extensions to the roadmap of things they're all going to be working on anyway. So other than the fact that we've got to figure out the power and the packaging, which presumably is part of this, how to do this in a lower power envelope, I'm a little dubious again about, you know, these being the first areas. Path to exascale, the first thing we're going to work on is processors. You know, it feels like we've got a lot of processing power, and the conversations I hear, people are talking a lot more about power consumption, memory, of course, which is part of this, and I'm glad to see that the memory is part of this, but the error handling and, you know, how we're going to build software for these things, I think are all very big concerns. I'm a little concerned that we're not going to see huge changes to these roadmaps based on some of these awards.
Right. I mean, I think that's sort of to be expected. But I think, you know, we should make the point that these technologies, although we think, you know, there's sort of a straight line between here and exascale for these technologies, that's not necessarily the case. I know I was talking to Mark Seeger at Intel for this story, and he says just the power consumption alone, there's going to have to be some pretty radical approaches here. They have to do basically 2 to 3 times better than what Moore's Law is going to give them over this time frame to be able to build processors that will meet exascale capabilities. So it's not just a matter of scaling these things up and sort of waiting for the natural order of Moore's Law to give them that. They have to actually do things. And these are the foundational technologies. I mean, we can talk about building system architectures and system software around this stuff, but until those foundational technologies are established, there's not much to work off of. So
yeah, it's just a question of how this winds up reading, right? Is that Intel's going to get this big grant for developing Intel Mic and AMD for APUs and NVIDIA for GPUs. These are all things they're all working on anyway.
Right. But I think their point is, and you know, it's a debatable point you could say, because these companies obviously would like this extra money to do so. They need this funding to accelerate these things in time for an end of decade exascale system. I mean, here we are, it's 2012. People are at least planning, at least the agencies are planning to have systems somewhere between 2018 and 2020. And to get those things going, you could say, well, we'll just depend upon the commercial market to drive those things. But the idea here is that it won't drive those. There's special requirements and needs here that need a faster on-ramp than what a business model would drive. So I think that's sort of the impetus behind this. And you could look at Intel and you think, well, they $19 million, that's just loose change for them. They could do this anyway. And you know, for some of these other companies, like you said at the beginning, this is larger money, more important than that. But
right,
the idea is to accelerate these efforts that are ongoing at these companies. We know they're ongoing, but to actually accelerate them and direct them towards at least the exascale needs and specifically the DOE application needs at this point, I think is sort of the idea here.
Yeah, well, and then the other thing I want to talk about here is, as we list out these processor vendors, you notice that IBM is not listed as one of the vendors here, which is noteworthy in that IBM with Power and the BlueJeans systems is currently the one who's dominating the petascale arena.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, actually, I mean, I did find out that IBM actually did get some sort of fast-forward contract. They're just not going public on what that contract is. It might have to do, since it's going to be either processor, memory, or storage, it's going to be one of those three, or maybe all of those three.
Yep.
But they're not ready to talk about it yet. So it would seem, it would make some sense, since they've got, you know, the BlueJeans technology and the power technology in general, that maybe some of that research some of that work at IBM will be for that. But at this point, we don't know anything about what's going on there.
We should quickly mention WhamCloud here also. Now, they're the only ones with the storage grant that's getting publicly mentioned. Now, this is WhamCloud is kind of the front. The others in the group are EMC, Cray, and HDF Group. HDF Group is a nonprofit 501c3 based in Champaign that has some technologies for object orientation. And that's the gist of the DOE award for WhamCloud here. They didn't say how much money it is, but the area of development is object orientation for more scalable Lustre.
Right. The idea there is bring Lustre into the exascale realm and then fold the object storage paradigm on top of that. So yeah, that looks like a big effort. And it's sort of the odd one out when you look at these three. Here you got the storage technology, storage, and I/O, and it's sort of its own subsystem. We sort of think about that as something that's tacked onto an exascale machine, and then you've got processor and memory, which are sort of at the, you know, inside at the foundation of this. So, yeah, I mean, in that sense, the fast forward, you know, breakdown the taxonomy is a little odd here, but yeah, like you said, WhamCloud and this group got the only storage award, so it looks like. The DOE, at least, is putting all of its money on Lustre for exascale storage.
Well, and that's not the only reason it's the odd one out. It's the odd one out because WhamCloud is such a small company.
Yep.
They're not even a storage company, really, nor even a software company. They've been a services and support company for Lustre, although they contribute a lot to the open source community with regards to Lustre development. They don't sell that. And that's why we've got the whole group involved here, presumably.
Right. EMC, Cray, and HDF, which provide different components. Obviously, EMC is the hardware side of the storage, and then the others. But right, it is sort of the odd one out there. But yeah, DOE obviously thinks this is one of those critical technologies that has to be started now and not in the future to get exascale into the. By the end of the decade. So it's starting this effort now. And like I said, we don't know how much money's being poured into that, but it's you know, probably tens of millions. So,
yeah. Well, let's take a quick break, Michael. And we've kind of covered the news aspect of it, but I want to stay with this topic. We'll come back and maybe do a little bit more forward looking. What does this mean? And some color commentary for exascale.
All right. Sounds good.
Mellanox's end-to-end FDR 56 gigabits per second InfiniBand and 10 and 40 gigabit Ethernet interconnect products, consisting of ConnectX 3 adapter products, the comprehensive SwitchX family of fixed and modular switches, software, and cables, deliver industry-leading performance, scalability, efficiency, and economics for the best return on investment for performance interconnects. Mellanox provides its worldwide customers with the broadest, most advanced, and highest-performing end-to-end interconnect solutions for the world's most compute-demanding applications. For more information on Mellanox's end-to-end connectivity solutions for HPC and cloud server and storage clustering, visit www.mellanox.com.
We're back from the break. What we sort of alluded to, or we're talking about the news there, is sort of the where this fast-forward work sort of fits into DOE's exascale effort. In a sense, the DOE exascale program is really not started in the sense they don't have a big contract to build exascale systems. The packaging, the architecture, the system software, all that. This is just the component technology. That money is going to be a lot more than tens of millions. It's probably going to be hundreds of millions, and it's not going to show up until 2013, assuming, you know, the money is allocated and everybody's happy, and even that's not a slam dunk. We saw what happened with the UHPC program, which was a system exascale program. So there was a lot of money put up front, but that sort of withered away as the funding sort of disappeared.
Well, the UHPC program really shut down before it fulfilled all of its objectives. I've been critical in the past of the HPCS program having largely been forgotten by the time it got to its phase three, and I think it accomplished a minimum of the things that it originally set out to to do. I mean, we did get to petascale, but the point of HPCS was a whole new way of doing computing, and I don't think we've achieved that. So, that's why I get so critical looking at some of these government-funded initiatives. Not that we don't need an initiative for exascale, but I want to pay attention as to what the goals are and how we're going about them.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point we'll take. I mean, I think, we can look back at HPCS and say, well, it didn't do exactly what it was supposed to do. And I think Cray, maybe IBM, would say differently, that it did actually accelerate those efforts enough to create, positive outcomes, if not the complete goal. And this is the government. So if you can create positive outcomes and not get 100%, that's probably okay. If they can do the same thing here, actually create the technology to get the impetus to build these systems, that's probably money well spent. But yeah, it's always a little questionable about how these programs actually play out through the years. I mean, to me, the sort of the most disappointing thing about the exascale work was the UHPC program that did sort of just fade away. Some of that work will be recycled here. I mean, especially we're talking about Intel, who's working on some of the near threshold voltage technology, and then NVIDIA, which was working on that echelon design, that'll be recycled for this work too. So that's not money completely down the drain. But
right,
it's sort of disheartening to see sort of these, these big grand schemes things just sort of wither away and say, okay, that just didn't work, or we ran out of money. Hopefully, the DOE will get the funding to build or to design and research these larger systems and produce something they want by the 2018-2020 timeframe. But that money's not here yet.
No, it's not here yet, and people are starting to get soft on that 2018 deadline. And you hear people talk about whether or not that's an effective deadline. Will it lead to these trick systems that can do an exaflop on something but aren't efficient systems? I think it's worth questioning whether or not the U.S. is in a leadership position at this point as we stand early in petascale and start looking ahead to exascale. These are all U.S.-based companies, but you've had the Chinese in there, you've got the Japanese in there, you've even got some European companies now, although the big supercomputers in Europe are all based on, for the most part, IBM technology.
Right, right. I mean, a lot of those are, right, they're going to use Intel, NVIDIA, IBM, whatever technology. Japan and China, you can look at and say those might have their own domestic exascale systems that would be based little or if any on U.S.-based technology. But I'm not sure how far along those efforts are either. I mean, China makes noise. They've got their goal, but it's sort of unclear. There's sort of a lot of opaqueness on what's going on in China, so I'm not sure how far along they are.
Right. Japan? Now, I didn't mean to discount Bull, by the way. Bull has installed, three different petaflop supercomputers. So it's not like there's no supercomputer provider in Europe. But
right. But the component, even Bull, the component technologies underneath tend not to be indigenous.
Well, they've got a lot of their own R&D, and we talked about that before when we covered the top 500 list. But I think when we look at, is the U.S. in a leadership position right now, you're comparing primarily against China.
Yeah, and I think we probably don't know the answer to that at this point, since there's just so little visibility into what's going on in China for these future systems. I think that could go either way. I think the bigger issue here is, you don't really need hundreds of millions of dollars in government contracts to get an exascale milestone. I mean, that will probably happen sometime around the turn of the decade, whether there's another dime spent by the governments of any of these countries or
not.
That's
right. That's right.
An exascale system can be built more or less like a petascale system if you just want to build something that's going to hit an exaflop. But the whole idea here is
if
to
you
build,
can power it, yeah.
Right, if you can power it. But, you can always find the power to power something. It's not like it's going to be any more than a gigawatt or something. But the idea here is to build an ecosystem that's going to be usable and cost-effective over a range of exascale systems from not just in 2020, but from 2020 to 2030 and beyond. So to build that ecosystem and the software and the efficiencies that you want there takes does take some development, and that's why it's starting early, not to build one, you know, a one-off system for 2020 and call it quits.
Absolutely. And again, as we start looking forward as to what some of the long-term effects are here, I keep coming back to WAM Cloud as being the odd one out on this list, you know, it being a small company and in one of these very dynamic areas where it's not clear what's happening with file systems yet and the long-term development. I think if you're going to pick anyone who's been right in the thick of file system development, it's going to be WAM Cloud. But you know, it's a small company, and there's a couple things in here that really draw my attention. First of all, Cray is a strange bedfellow among this group, because Cray, although they do have Lustre-oriented storage, is currently aligned through Xyratex as their main partner, and the leadership at Xyratex has had a bit of a philosophical disconnect with the leadership of WAM Cloud in terms of long-term Lustre development.
Right. Yeah, that is sort of, I think Cray was brought in because they have the expertise from the supercomputing point of view with Lustre. But right, I mean, Xyratex wasn't here. They picked sort of EMC as the partner for the software. I mean, the hardware.
That's the very odd thing to me, right? That you have Cray in here and WAM Cloud in here and no mention of Xyratex. So, you know, where are the likes of Peter Brom and Peter Bajanek going to be fitting into this long-term reach of Lustre development? You know, if you get those personalities going off in a different direction, is it going to have an effect? The other thing is, with regards to WAM Cloud being such a small company, we've theorized for the last couple months about what happens if WAM Cloud gets acquired by somebody. You know, and that could happen anytime. Someone could announce that WAM Cloud's going to get acquired, and then you wonder what effect that has in terms of the long-term development.
Yeah, regardless of that, though, I think just the fact that the DOE has tapped WAM Cloud, they're probably going to be in any follow-on work that's going to go on. So if there is follow-on work or system work in particular, it looks like WAM Cloud sort of a shoe instance right now, and as far as we know, they're the only primary on the storage side. So that's sort of interesting. But I think at least the technology, the intellectual property that they represent, will make it through this effort as DOE sort of ramps up their exascale program.
Yep. Well, it's good news for WAM Cloud all the way around, no matter how you look at it. I mean, to be singled out on something like this. With Intel, AMD, NVIDIA, you've really got all the competitors in there, with the aforementioned exception of IBM with regards to power, and they might have their own unannounced grant that they're not talking about here. So, right. You know, there you're spreading the wealth. Here, with WAM Cloud, you're really shoving all in on one particular technology. There's not any mention of GPFS or PNFS or any of the other directions that you might take here. Right, and even narrowing it down into Lustre to say it's all going to be on WAM Cloud is to pick a particular implementation or idea.
Right. I mean, and we even know there's some other open source parallel file systems that are floating around out there that didn't.
Plenty. Lots.
That are actually oriented towards this. But, you know, this is still early. This is the first contract. As like I said, the follow-on contracts may incorporate more diversity, but it looks like if the DOE has picked sort of their most popular one at this point, and that's these guys. So it's the more conservative way to go in that sense.
I didn't mean to be critical of that. In many ways, I like that better. I mean, if you're going to spread it out and have diversity include everybody, then it's not clear to me that you're encouraging the development of anything that wasn't going to get developed anyway. Here, you're at least picking a strategic direction where the DOE is making a bet, saying this is the technology that's going to be important to exascale. We think this area needs a grant to help it get more in that direction, and we're going to invest in it.
Yeah, and that's in this case, it's very important, WAM Cloud, because they're not a multi-billion-dollar company. They don't have an extra $20 million lying around to invest in this sort of thing. So this is probably, you know, money that wouldn't have been spent otherwise.
No, yeah, WAM Cloud is what, less than 50 people? I mean, it's not a huge company.
right? Compared to
which Sony. Goes back around to, is anyone going to acquire them? I mean, they're the company that's got such a much bigger mind share and market presence relative to the size of their company, which is one of the big things we look at when we try to pinpoint who might be a good investment.
Yeah, well, certainly we've seen a lot of consolidation in the storage arena, so that wouldn't be outside the realm of a possibility by any means to see that happen. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yep, we'll wait and see.
All right, well, until next week, maybe we'll see some more of this news sort of leak out towards the rest of the month. But for now, I think that'll do it, and we'll start it up again next Friday.
Great. Thanks a lot, Michael.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by Mellanox Technologies, the leading supplier of end-to-end FDR 56 gigabits per second InfiniBand and 10 and 40 gigabit Ethernet interconnect solutions for HPC and cloud server and storage clustering. www.mellanox.com.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.